G'day guys, Clint here recording the full landscape with Adam DeLongville from Trusted Garden Maintenance. Adam and I sat down some years ago to talk about his business, which is a garden maintenance business, and I thought it would be a good chance to catch up a few years down the track, find out a bit more about what he's up to these days, and share a fair bit of practical advice for anyone out there that might be running a garden maintenance or even just a professional services business that goes to people's houses. So there's a bit in this one. Hopefully you enjoy it. If you've got any questions or any comments or any feedback, you can hit me up. He's also quite active on social, so by all means, give him a follow and go have a look. I'm going to go investigate whether or not I can start drinking this rosé that he just gifted me, but I will leave it with you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
No, I said, can we make you go viral and blah, blah, blah. Mm. So they then did a edit with all my videos, and I think it's not on there now. It's about 50 million views or something. Yep. But if you look at the post, it's still not really pushing people to come visit my site. It's not really that encouraging. But then I know the ad revenue they've got over the last 4 years from that would be significant.
You know, or you just
based on my knowledge of how it works. Yeah. So the ads that they run against that, yep. It's like I think it's a 5-minute video or something, yep. With a lot of my content.
Yep.
And that message went like that. So, you know, we want to share your content. Look how many followers we've got. They've got obviously millions. Mm. Yeah, that goes viral for them, but it's not.
So do you think that because you were young, not age-wise, but social media and yep. Well, like that part of the world-wise, you kind of got caught up in...
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's going to be on later. It's going to be awesome.
Going to be massive. Yep.
Yeah. And not really... Didn't really care that much either, but it was sort of...
You didn't lose anything either.
No, I didn't lose anything. Yeah. No. But it's more... So now I've just... When they contact me all the time now, I sort of say, like, what are you offering? Like, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
And it's always, oh, we've got your name there.
Yeah.
But if you look at the content, like Lab Bible's a great example. If you look at most of their posts, none of them are really about the video they're sharing.
Well, they want it to look like it's theirs.
Yeah.
Their desire is not to make you look good, right?
No. And I'm not even after money. It's more just make a little bit more effort to appreciate my content.
Yeah.
So especially now, I think the difference back then was like TikTok wasn't around then when they first did that.
It was Instagram.
So it was harder to go viral and different, like as in the numbers were different back then. But now with things like TikTok, you could open your account tomorrow and go viral. Like anyone can go viral with the right video.
You had any videos on TikTok go nuts?
Yeah.
Like what kind of numbers? Like millions?
Millions. 10 million or something, I don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
We'll get excited when I get, 16,000? I'm like, fucking yeah.
It's still cool. Like, I still like it. It's fun.
I've almost... But
the thing I find it's frustrating, though, is there's no... If you look at the numbers, a lot of it, there's no logic to a lot of it. So if you look at the metrics and have a video, you know, that you just post it for whatever reason. Most of my viral ones, I've not even really tried. Mm. Just done an edit, literally out of job, posted it. And the next minute it goes nuts. And sometimes if you look at the metrics of the likes and shares and all that type of thing, you might get a video that gets 10% likes. So 10% likes on a TikTok video, that's actually really high. So in my mind, it goes, well, 10% of the people that have actually seen this video have taken the time to like it, like press the button. Not much effort.
Which people don't hand out likes.
These days, no, because they're scrolling through that many. So you think, okay, so that if I was TikTok, to me, that makes sense. That's a high hit rate.
Yep.
Of likes, so the engagement's high, that's pushed that one out. But often the ones that do go viral are actually low metrics, so they'll push, a lot of my videos are going viral that were low engagement, low likes, yet it pushed it out to all different countries and it went viral, but the actual metrics aren't viral. It's just because they sent it out to a lot of people, which I don't really understand that how that works, but that's why you just got to keep making content. You don't always have the answer. So the video you don't post is a video that could have gone viral. You just don't know. And then on the opposite times, you've got videos where you make... I did this one recently, did all these edits. So I was like really happy with the video.
This is going to go nuts. Yep.
This is just so good. I don't know, 5,000 views or 10,000 views or something. But
I feel like I joke about... I probably say it once a week. Like it doesn't matter. No one's watching our shit anyway. Because I've been producing content... With an actual content production person in the business for 6 years, I think the full landscape's probably 6 years old.
Yeah.
And nothing's ever popped. Like, it's always been very, you know, we might get 200 YouTube views on a full landscape. Is it more than that?
It averages around 120.
Yeah, so nothing crazy. And it's, I don't know, if I'd get really, really shocked if something popped. And then, it, like, and the reality is, when you're producing content for a long enough time, surely at some point something's going to happen.
It's going to, yeah.
But it just doesn't. And I kind of,
I feel like it's going to, though.
But I'm just like, oh, whatever. Like,
I really feel like with your content, your consistency is admirable. Like, it is just there in the car with Clint. Like,
yeah.
I don't watch them all the time, but when it pops up and I'm not doing something, I would like
to watch it. Well, it's probably algorithmic. Like, they're probably putting the ones in front of you that are relevant to whatever you've talked about or thought about, not that they're listening at all.
But I still feel like it's I really think of like the Gary Vee style, and back in his Wine Library days, he talks exactly about
a thousand episodes before anyone gave a fuck.
And then it's like, wow, I found this person. They've got lots of advice.
Yeah.
Like a lot of good advice.
Well, I hope so.
And you're not selling.
I've got nothing to, I mean, and it's very much similar to what Gary, I mean, obviously you and I are fanboys, if that's not disrespectful to you. Special mention, I've got a bottle of Empathy Wine sitting on the table here that Adam was kind enough to drop off. Last time we caught up, Adam brought me a bottle of Empathy Wines, an autographed bottle of Empathy Wines, actually. I've still got it. You might have seen it in the back of some podcasts. He dropped it on the way into the episode and it cracked the neck, but it's still, it's all good. So maybe I should just drink this one.
I'm not sure how rosé ages, but...
Do you think it's too old now?
No idea.
Mm-mm. I'll just ring Gary. What's that? I'll ring Gary and ask him.
He sold. He sold.
Yeah, for like 9-figure X or something crazy. Yep. Yeah. Like, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I think Lawn Hub's kind of my Empathy Wines. Yeah. Like, it's a brand that we own, or I own. I keep saying we. I'm very inclusive. that is... not at the mercy of other suppliers, like everything else we do.
Yeah.
You know, Hunter, Rainbird, Toro, Iplex, we don't own any of that.
Yeah.
So we're just selling other people's stuff. And then all of a sudden, if they just go, oh, like it's happened with one of the manufacturers, they've decided to start going direct to our customers. So we're done.
Yeah.
What do you do? Whereas Lawn Hub's got that protection. So
Yeah.
And
I think you've got that cool factor now too. You're growing that, I don't know, I think because of the way you've done the branding.
It is nuts.
It's getting that.
It is nuts.
Like to share it. I think you've got content that people want to share.
Well, we're not even producing any content either, right? The next In the Car with Clint that I've got, it's in my phone, I haven't recorded it yet, is going to be, there's moments in time where you need to go all in, right? And you'll know when they are, and obviously your gut, which is obviously the, you know, the accumulation of all your experiences in life becomes your gut. My gut's telling me, like, right now, it's all in on Lawn Hub.
Yeah.
Like it's 5 year old. It's 5 years old in 4 days.
Is
that right? Yeah, September 18th. Well, one of them. Five.
I think it was probably when I was first on the show. That
yeah,
you were just yeah. Playing it, I think.
One of them. So Railways turned 4 on the 1st of this month. WaterPro turns 15 on the 19th of Feb next year, and I think Lawn Hub was September 18th. Was the first sale. So 5 years in, it's now, I think it nearly did 2 mil last year. It's tracking at the moment that like it could do 4 this year, right? As a parody, fertilizer, joke, revenge business.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the US and, you know, we've got, Dylan's a one-man media company that's trying to work 3 different businesses plus my personal brand. It's just not commercially like there's no reality that he can do that. And I'm thinking, and we've had some cool ideas where we've talked about the content that could be produced for Lawn Hub, like, you know, like you'd get a production crew together and actually do funny skiddy things,
yeah,
and it could be nuts. But then that's another 2 or 3 more staff, so it's like, well, you know, are you willing to invest another $200,000 a year potentially with the staff and then obviously all the other assets, and then, you know,
yeah.
And I'm kind of at a point where I'm like, we have to, like, it's now. Like it's,
I think it's a good time to do it.
Yeah, you know, it's only money, right?
Because I'm not like, I don't. So in all the things that I follow, obviously there's a lot of gardening. I follow a lot of gardening.
Yeah, I can imagine
stuff. And I don't see any other
fertilizer
brands.
There's other. There are other fertilizer brands, but none of them are producing content like we do.
So they should be. It makes so much sense for me to be seeing all their content all the time.
Yep.
But I'm not seeing.
Yeah, they're very much haven't kind of caught wind of how it all works, but or they try and work with influencers, whereas I'm trying to create influencers internally. So I'm the, when I say influencer, like I'm the face of our ads. So it's not like there's no risk of, us using, I don't know, some professional ex, and then them getting embroiled in some kind of sexual assault scandal, or saying, I'm only going to keep doing this if you give me more money, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, and that can happen, you know, once the deal ends, the deal ends. So
yeah.
I don't mind us being almost, I think it works well that I don't have any idea what the fuck I'm doing. Jonesy's got a pretty good idea. And then we just do videos and just like I'm yeah. like, I'm like the people that are buying it, my fertilizer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like, aged, what is it, 34 to 54,
yep.
you know, male, living in Australia, overweight, loves a beer, has no idea what he's doing,
yeah.
and just needs to put some fertilizer on the lawn because I want it to look a little bit better than it did yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that resonates with some people. And I think some people genuinely believe that it's a joke, but I have no idea. Like, some of the shit that I do in my backyard, they're just like, Jonesy's like, you can't spray that chemical, but yeah.
I think a way to do something different would be actually to have like a promotion and encourage content
yeah.
from, like, I think you'd be surprised.
Like, get people to produce content for us.
As in, have a promotion. So, say, for October or November, whatever yeah. it is, submit your videos this month.
Yeah.
You give away all rights to the video, so yep. we'll happily share it.
Yep.
And it could even be the one that gets the most likes or
yep.
one voted by the fans or...
Be interesting, because we could...
I think you'd be surprised how many guys and girls would love to see their lawns. And just the funny, you might find a guy that's hilarious.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you sign an ambassador, and then
the typical character you've just described yeah. to your client has gone, I don't have my time in the spotlight.
Well, the thing is,
loves his lawn and uses your product.
Yeah.
And it's legit. It's
and not, the, yeah.
Like
yeah.
you've created that
ambassador. We had a guy that produced a good NSFW video. Is it Melbourne Lawny? And we shared that, but yeah, I think it would be good to formalize that a bit more. And like, the thing is, I'd also go, all right, like, if we use your video, because we use it in ads,
yeah,
you want him to move his mic. If we use it in it's ads, right. doesn't matter. No one listens to the podcast anyway. Don't worry. Like, if we use the ad, like, I'll give them something. Like, it won't be a case of, you know, how yeah. you're saying, like, oh, we'll share it, and you'll become, yeah. you know, like the 40,000 odd people that follow Lawn Hub on Facebook will now know who you are.
Yeah,
I'll be like, no, you produce the ad, we use it. I'll send you $1,000. I don't know, Dan Murphy's gift voucher, or
yeah.
we'll give you $1,000 store credit with Lawn Hub, or something that's like
that, I think you'd, like, I think you'd be shit. Very surprised, because I think what you need to remember is the content can be so simple mm-hmm. for you, for your ad to work.
Mm.
It doesn't need to be necessarily that scripted yeah. or everyone's looking great and like mm. lighting's perfect. It's literally some guy.
Like, we film the ones that guard.
Those ad, run yeah. them, then convert them to an ad,
yeah.
and I really think you'll get. High hit rate.
Yeah.
People like, oh, this guy's a Bergen like me.
Yeah.
His lawn looks sick.
Yeah. We're doing that.
Right.
Add that really to your list of shit you don't have time to do. No, this is going to help you.
Because yeah. then I think, you know, you get, then you potentially get, say, like myself, go, yeah.
that's worth
that's
it.
One, that's one thing I don't do enough.
Yeah.
In my business is I don't focus enough on improvement. So I'm all about the maintenance, but mm. that's one thing I want to get
soil
better at.
Health or.
Yeah. Yep.
plant appearance,
even just yeah, and more about the lawns, I guess, but the like fertilizing,
yep.
coring, and that sort of stuff. So that's one thing I don't do enough of, because I'm all about just the maintenance.
Yep.
But I think for me, that should be it. Or another, I guess, avenue for revenue. But also, it's more enjoyable when the lawns look nice.
Oh yeah,
like it's just more fun.
Yeah,
like it's more fun mowing a nice lawn than not a nice lawn.
Fair, you're not mowing dirt.
No, so. And I think you'll have...
Nice lawns grow faster, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You're like...
And it's better on the equipment.
We do not put growth regulator on any of our jobs. We need them yeah. growing. Yeah.
So I think there'd be other brands that would do the same thing. Like, I think they'd... Like, other local brands, but even... Mm. You might have national brands or international brands going, you know what? We could, you know, we could run this promo and that might help us.
Yeah.
Because then you might then... Then I'm... So let's say I'm in your ad.
Yeah.
That if I want it... Then I'm getting a double whammy anyway.
Well, there's also, yeah, there's the potential that another brand sees you and goes, wow, he's all right. He's good on camera.
Mm.
Like, we should reach out to him. He might be able to do some stuff for us. And
yeah.
I mean, I've got lots of different directions I want to go with this podcast, but I guess the question that popped into my mind then is like, why do you produce content? Like, do you want to be famous? Is it, do you like the attention? Do you like, because
I don't really know. I actually like doing it. Mm. So I like doing it. I think... I wish I did more of it earlier.
Yeah, when it was easy. When it was
like,
easy.
It was just so, like, I look back. So when I first started the business in 2012, like, you can look back to my Facebook and that's how I grew the business from day one, because I knew that there was no gardeners on Facebook back then. So I'd go to a job, an overgrown job was my main source of income back then, take a picture of an overgrown yard, clean it up, take an after picture.
Yep.
And then next day I'd get a call saying, I saw that.
Yep.
Like literally the next day or same day, oh, can you come give me a quote? I'm like, this is pretty easy. So I used to do that all the time. So if you go back to my Facebook, you'll see just boring photos of just before and afters. And then what I found interesting is that people were like actually proactively saying, oh, why haven't you put my picture up yet? Like I'd do a cleanup of a yard that you wouldn't think you'd be proud of and clean it up, and that'd be basically hassling me. I haven't seen my photo yet before and after. So people loved it. And I kept on doing that, just still photos back then. Didn't have to do videos back then. And then I guess I wasn't that consistent, but because everything was going fine. But if I really clicked back then, even now there's ad revenue on Facebook. It's quite minimal. But the guys that did consistently do it that are generating ad revenue and just view count now in Facebook. So I do regret not doing it harder. So yeah, it's not really about being famous. It's about just having fun.
But also
the potential that down the track, who knows if I do build it to a certain size and go, I would actually like to sell it.
Yeah.
Or
I've got the option. Like, do you want to grow it to a certain size? Like you've got what, no staff currently?
Not currently.
And you've had one.
Yep.
Like it's been a long time.
Yeah.
You know, do you go from one to zero to 40?
I'm never going to do that. No, yeah. I'm not keen to do that. So I'm the moment focusing on efficiency, like travel,
yeah,
all those things to make it super efficient.
I think the model feels more sellable than the business.
Yeah.
I think you could sell the model.
Yep.
And coach, if that's the direction you wanted to go down, and coach other people how to replicate what you've done rather than buy what you've got.
Yeah. And I do actually like doing that. So as I said earlier, before we started, like when people come and buy old gear from me, like old lawnmowers and things that I sell off on Facebook and things, they're usually garden guys, and I'm happy to just, I tell them what software I use and tell them all my things that I've found helps me.
Because you have no fear of losing that work.
No.
I think a lot of people keep that a secret because they think that someone's going to come and take it all away. Like,
yep.
I see it with landscapers, even not sharing the concreting tools that they use, like to finish concrete. Like there's only, I mean, I don't know the answer, but there's only 100 tools, right? Like,
yeah.
You reckon yours is more special than that other guy's? Like,
yeah,
it's just ridiculous. While I remember this, when you were talking about the before and after photos not being shared, I remember getting one of our vehicles wrapped by a signage company, and I was really excited for them to share it on their page, and they never did.
Yeah.
I've never used that company ever again.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we spend a lot of money wrapping cars. And
yeah.
And I've never said that to anyone, and I think it's immature and stupid,
yeah,
and they wouldn't even know, and it's inconsequential to their lives, but I really was excited to be featured.
Yeah.
And I think that as business owners, we probably forget, or content creators, we forget that we have a responsibility to our audience and our partners that, you know, we've signed. That's why I'm doing podcasts more regularly, because I had a friend and his brother say, "Where's, you haven't done an episode for like 6 or 8 weeks. What's going on?"
Yeah.
And I forgot, like, yeah, there are people that, there are those 123 listeners that are like, that have accidentally stumbled across it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, can you make another one?
Yeah.
So.
Because I think there's always going to be interesting parts that people can take out of it.
Well.
And which for you, I guess it's that pyramid of content as well.
We don't really chop it up as much as we should. And it comes, I mean, Dylan probably needs 3 more people in his team to really effectively achieve what we wanted to do. And I was thinking, I think it was last night, I was like, we don't vlog like, we tried to vlog at the start,
yeah,
but we don't vlog,
yeah,
right? And I've got some crazy shit going on, like,
yeah,
and I think my normal just becomes my normal.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we're running 3 separate companies simultaneously with, I think, a team of 40. We're trying to recruit at least 4 people at the moment.
Yeah, wow.
I've got trademark law stuff going on in the US for Lawn Hub. We're about to bankrupt someone. I've never been through that before. So that whole process of actually like lodging documents to wind a company up, never done that before. So there's all this stuff going on that I think people would be like, holy fuck, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, well, what, would you have time to record that for the next whatever? You know, so,
yeah.
And I think I kind of lost sight of what the plan was about doing a weekly vlog or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know if it was because I got embarrassed sometimes filming, like I remember going into Foodlands, this is before you worked here, and like being followed around with a camera in a Foodland, and it's just like and this is 6 or 7 years ago in Adelaide, right? Yeah. Like if you did that in Sydney now, people would be like, yeah, he's just a douchebag.
Yeah.
But you do it in Adelaide, they're like, I don't know, is he an influencer?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Like, yeah. So I really think it's like, I want to get back into that. And you know, the business is at a size now where it's probably interesting to more people than I give it credit to.
Yeah. I think it is. I think because you've got such a broad amount of stuff you do.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And I think that gives you a massive market of people that could be interested in
the business side of it, or
product stuff, yeah. Or it could be the influencer side of things, yeah. Or it could be the entrepreneur style of things. Like, there's so many different aspects of you, I guess, that
Matt's going to kill
is
me.
Interesting.
The wages are too high already, and they're just about to go up. So on that, obviously, you know, the podcast is designed for landscapers and garden maintenance and garden designers and people that are related to the landscape. So if you're happy to share, like, you know, if I was the guy that came to your yard and bought your old Honda mower off you, because you don't use petrol mowers anymore.
Don't use petrol.
What would you be like if I'm like, so what, you know, why does the business work so well for you? Like, tell me the 10 dot points of the software and the, you know, what, how do you run the business now?
Yep. So I've been doing this now for a bit over 10 years. When I first started, like I was in sales before and just had a total change of life and then started the business. When I got my first call, it was near Williston and I was living north at the time. And I was just so excited to get my first job, went out there, did the job, took me so much longer than I thought. I think it was $200 and took me a day and a half. So like, but I was still pumped because it was my first job. And then from then on, I got lots of calls and it'd be like down Ranelagh, Regula, like anywhere there was a job, it was just, the answer was yes. And then they became regular customers. So then it got to the point where, you know, you're driving around a lot for not that much money. You spent so much time in the car, not earning money. So you're not getting paid to drive to these jobs. So I still, I guess, over the years, reduced that a little bit. But over the last probably 3 to 4 years especially, but definitely in the last two, really focused. Like, I listened to a lot of audiobooks. So a lot of those books that I listen to really talk about efficiency and things like that. So, and saying no to people. So then I made it a goal, got all the stats of my clients in a nice spreadsheet, did the Google thing, how far away are they from home? So everywhere I measure, how far from home is this job? And so then I set myself goals to slowly reduce that, and ways I did that. So for example, Google My Business, I've set a radius of jobs that I cover. On my website, I listed the suburbs. So not just saying I'm northern, it's the actual suburbs that I cover. And that's in time, over time, shrunk. So I think when I started the reduction process, I think it was at roughly, I'd say 8 kilometers from home was my average client. And now I'm sitting at 2.1 kilometers from home is my average.
What was the worst when it was at 8? How far were you going, like 20?
Yeah, probably even 30.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what's the worst now?
Three.
And you'll make that call, you'll make that judgment call based on the fact that they're a recurring client, good client.
Yeah, and in a suburb, I've got a file.
Yep.
And I guess my parents are at Para Vista, so that's slightly out of my range, but then I use that day to catch up with mum and dad, have a coffee. So I've got a few clients in the area, and a friend actually. So I use that day to make sure I spend time with my parents and have a coffee and things like that.
Yep.
So all my jobs, so what I would tell this person is, yeah, because most of the guys that I come across, I ask them, what areas do you cover? Because I'm always looking for other businesses that I can refer overflow. Because I get a lot of overflow of clients that call me every day. And because I've got such a strict radius that I cover, probably 90% of people I say no to. And then they ask, do you know someone that covers the area? So when I have that conversation with a lot of people, their areas are still all, like, they're like I used to be 10 years ago, which is, yeah, I'll cover down to Gawler, down to, you know, like, they cover everywhere still. I'm like, don't do that. Like, there's so many clients. If you just look around in your suburb where you live, unless you're dominating your local suburb, I don't believe there's any reason to take on all those clients if you're proactively growing your social media and you're getting the calls, obviously. If you're not getting calls, then I guess. But to me, then, if you're not getting the calls, put the energy into getting the calls. Mm.
There's obviously something else going wrong if you're not getting calls.
Correct.
Yep. You're either too expensive, not good enough.
Yep.
Haven't done what you said you were going to do, whatever it might be.
Yep. So that's my big thing is, so I get a lot of people saying, oh, but I'm only like a bit out of your range. And I just say no. So, and they, you know, they respect that. I'm going to tell them why, because it's about being efficient for me, but also for them. So if I take them on as a client and they're out of my zone and I'm telling them I'm going to be there every fortnight, what I used to hate was you'd run over time. So then the next day would be catching up from the previous day, but then, oh, you got to travel there, but my jobs are here. So for a period years ago, it was just, I was always behind, like always behind.
Even if they offered to pay you more, because then you're behind, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. No, because then that flows onto the other jobs.
And so it's not so much about the profitability of the individual job. It's the impact that it has on the greater business if yep. something goes wrong on that job.
Yep.
Yep.
So so the benefit I've got now is I'm more efficient than ever. So on a day, let's say I do Clemzig, I've got a day that's just Clemzig now. So just Clemzig, they're all within 500 meters of each other or so, and I can smash out 10, 12 jobs at Clemzig, relatively easy day. But worst case scenario, if I had to go back the next day for some reason, it's only 2 k's from home anyway, so it doesn't actually really matter.
So what would an average time of a job be, like 40 minutes?
Yeah, yep, between 30 to 40.
An average value of a job?
About $105 at the moment.
Yep. And then, so you're working 5 days a week?
No, generally 4 to 5 a fortnight.
You're working 4 to 5 days a fortnight?
Yes, that's what I do.
Because that was my goal. Because the profitability of that's sufficient for you to live the yep. life that you want.
Yep.
And then you can do whatever else you want. So you're working, what, every second day, every third day?
Yeah, generally. So we go away a fair bit. I got coached the kids' basketball and things like that. Yep. My wife and I, we go away like camping trips and things. So often the schedule it allows me to have, let's say, a long weekend. Mm. And then might be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday might work, and then not the Friday. So it sort of varies a little bit. But I'm also growing that at the moment. So I guess the downside of my process, which is I say no to like 90% of the people that call me, is that it's a slow process to grow that tight area. But then when I've got those clients, I get 5-star reviews. They know I'm coming. I'm reliable.
Hmm.
So it just keeps on growing. And I don't have to stress about where I'm going to fit them in. I don't stress about the work anymore. It's just like clockwork, I do the fortnightly maintenance. So I'm still keen to grow that, which I am doing at the moment. And then my goal is, once I get to a certain point, is to hire again and hire the right person. And then that will take over more of that stuff.
For that kind of business, you could probably afford to pay someone quite well.
Definitely.
Because your efficiencies are so high. Like I look at so businesses that have, like I'll say, how many hours a week are your staff earning money? And they'll be like, well, 38. Like, no. Like, how many hours a week are they actually doing work that generates an income? Not driving somewhere, driving back from somewhere, going to a supplier to pick shit up, going to the dump. Like, how much are they actually making money? And then when they look at it, they're like, oh, wow, like it's 4 hours a day. I'm like, and what are you charging per hour? And then it doesn't equate, right? No. So you've managed to navigate that by staying in one area.
Yeah.
If you then hire staff, you're getting, so you said you do 12 40s a day or whatever it might be, 10 to 12 40 hour jobs, 40 minute, fucking hell, Clint, 40 minute jobs a day. If you can then translate that to a staff member, they might do 8 because they're not going to be as efficient as you. Yep. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
But if you had them driving around, they're going to probably do 4 or 6, right?
Mm.
So if you can pay them 10% above the market, you're probably going to be likely to attract those good staff.
Yeah. And my thoughts are, at this stage, is I'm really not that far away from it, I think, to start the ball rolling. I don't even need someone that is trained up. Happy to train them up in my way. It would really suit someone, guy or girl, that has got kids,
wants to be home,
wants to pick up the kids from school. Yeah. Wants to pick up the kids from school and wants to do 5 days a week.
Well, because you could make that work. You could say, drop your kid at school or XYZ. If you're caring for an elderly parent, go do that. Feed your parent.
Yep.
Come and do 5 hours. As long as these jobs get done inside that window.
Yep. And make 60 grand a year. Like, that's what my goal is for someone. To have, and have someone that...
There'd surely be people... I mean, you just probably haven't advertised it.
No. Because I'm not there yet to... Yeah, I need to take that step.
Yeah.
But I also want a few more clients until I do that.
Enough that's to goal. Make sure that you can still live the life that you've become accustomed to and make sure that you've got enough income to cover the wage of the person that you're taking on.
I don't want to add stress. And that's where, like, I don't really have ambitions to have lots of stuff, because that's managing a lot of people. Like, things happen, which is, I really respect people that can do that. But I like, now, right now, I can go away and not have to worry about anything.
Yep.
We can go, my software runs really well. I don't even tell people I'm going away, because they know I'm coming back in a fortnight.
Well, so you don't even have petrol going off.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, nothing.
Nothing.
What software are you using to manage the jobs?
So I switched to ServiceMate about 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, from Jobber. Jobber was great. Like, I really like Jobber. That got me through for quite a few years. But it always annoyed me that the notifications weren't built into the app. So as in, I couldn't notify customers via text or whatever. They had the feature, but only available in the US. So I was sort of waiting for that feature, but it never happened, because I really am big on automation and efficiency. So that was one thing that always annoyed me about Jobber. Did some research, trialed ServiceMate, and there's things, little things I don't like about it, but that part's huge. So all my clients now, right from the initial quote, it's all done via the app. So it's got like a, you know, via the mobile, it texts them via ServiceMate basically, but it's a text message they get. But I can do it via app, web browser, wherever I am in the world, I can reply to.
It's not your number though.
No, but you can actually make it. You can
do that.
You can take over the number.
Yep.
So the benefit of that is, once again, just the no stress, because I don't have to worry about answering phones and things like that. Everything's built in the app. So my notifications to clients that actually need to be notified, or most of them I text the night before in the app, you can actually automate that. But I generally just spend 30 seconds. Templates. Hi, Clint. Hope you're well. Just a reminder, I'll be at your place tomorrow. Mm. If there's anything in particular I need to do for you, let me know. Otherwise, thanks for your business and I'll be there tomorrow.
And so you've got, obviously, you build relationships where you've got access to their property. You know, the regime keys here, roll a door, do that, go in, do that, put the dog here, don't do that.
Yep.
And you just send the text and then all good.
And I'm very strict on that as well. So I seem to say no a lot, but that is one thing I learned, once again, a few years ago when I really wanted to focus on efficiencies and things that I used to do would be, oh, I'm not going to be there tomorrow. Can you make it Thursday? And I'd be like, yeah, no worries. And then you look at your schedule, you go, you know, why did I say that? Because that's not going to put out my Thursday, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, put the dog away. I forgot to open the gate, blah, 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 blah. Or can you make it every Monday instead of Tuesday? And when you get lots of people having all these different requests and you're saying yes to everyone, it soon becomes the point where you're letting more people down.
Mm. And you're also...
And you're stressing out. Like, it's right? Just, yeah, stressing out. You let other people down. It just doesn't run well. So that's one big thing I'm...
So you're,
now,
you're,
I don't guarantee...
You're inflexible.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That's a really good way to put it.
Yep.
So I've got certain exceptions of things that might be a time frame, but generally not. So if you say, oh, you need to be there at 9 o'clock, I'm like, sorry, or I need to be there when my dog's at the vet or whatever. Like, sorry, that's not how it works. But I'll make him clear right at the very start. So even when I quote, I sort of talk about those aspects, saying, look, you know, it's generally going to be a Wednesday. Tuesday's my Klimzig day, but that could change at any time. The benefit of that to you as a customer is you can pretty much lock me in. Know that you don't have to chase me up. I'm going to be there. Because that's one of the biggest, that probably is the biggest thing in the lawn mowing maintenance industry, is I rock up to a quote. First of all, you rock up to a quote and people are so thankful.
That you actually came up, like, not just that you were there on time.
It's the weirdest thing when you get, and it's happened the whole time I've run the business, is people are just so thankful that I've either reply to their message or return their call or actually come to a quote. So you've nearly got the job just by rocking up, to be honest. So those are the sorts of things I sort of really focus on. Set the groundwork early, because then it might not work for them. And I've got no pressure. There's no pressure on anyone that wants a quote from me. I'm like, do not feel bad if I'm too expensive or I'm not going to suit what you need. But that's sorted out now versus, you know,
Being awkward later.
Yeah. I'm really, there's so many clients like it, and there's so many gardeners, so they've got a huge amount of choice.
I think that's a really good tip for anyone in business, either with clients or talking to staff or any of that, to set your expectations clearly at the start. And then probably the second half of that would be to provide feedback well along the way.
Yeah.
So that no one's surprised when, like, from an employment standpoint, that they're getting fired
at
the end of a 6-month probation. But even from a client standpoint, like, if you set that at the start and they're like, yep, we agree.
Yeah.
After the first week, they're not meeting their end of the bargain. You're like, look, I told you on day one, we're now on day 10.
Yep.
If it doesn't change, like, it's cool. We just won't deal with each
other. Yeah, no hard feelings.
It's but they're not surprised. They're like, yeah, fair enough. He did tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they think that's a big thing. And I find that's where I'm big on, like, the messaging I send to people is making sure the feedback loop is there. So my regular text, that is the night before I go to a job, that clearly states that if there's anything I've missed or that you need doing or you want me to focus on, let me know.
Hmm.
And sometimes there will be. Most of the time there's no response or, nah, it's all good. Just
so
same
you know
as usual.
What you're meant to be doing. So you might be just lawn and then garden when required. And then
all my jobs are complete maintenance. So yep. Edging, hedging, yep. The whole lot.
So you'll go there every fortnight?
Yeah.
And do they get charged the same amount each fortnight?
Yeah, so everything's fixed.
As part of that rate, they don't have to worry about their garden?
Correct.
At all, and their lawn?
Yep.
So fertilizer?
No.
So
something I need to do.
Yeah.
I want to grow that.
I know
actually.
A guy.
Yep.
So lawn maintenance, edging, and then hedge and yep. plants, but no like pest management, all that kind of stuff? Like you want
oh,
to
yeah,
spray.
If required. Like, yeah, I do
yep.
do that.
Yep.
Yep.
And so they just know that it's every fortnight and you're coming. So yep. through winter, you're still there every fortnight?
Every fortnight, yeah. Yep. Okay. There's always stuff to do.
Yep.
And there's going to be times where, let's say in June or July, I give a roses a hard cut back and I might be there extra time.
Mm.
That's fine because I'm happy with the price that I've set.
The balance is
the
there.
The balance and there's no surprise.
So
the
hourly
rate.
You've a subscription-based garden
yes.
care model
yep.
that anyone who has deeply thought about it desires. Because honestly, anyone who's doing this and isn't doing it this way is crazy.
It's so easy. Yep.
And, you know, you look at the different business models that are the best. Like, what is it? Subscription paid in advance? Like, the only advantage... Like, do you get paid after or before?
After.
Yeah. So, yep. The only thing you could do to improve your business in any way would be to invoice them before you get there.
Yeah.
You know, which I know you're not going to be comfortable doing, but just go, we will direct debit the money on the Monday and we will be there at some point before the Friday. And they'll be like, yeah, okay.
But saying that, like ServiceMate, that's the other part I like about it. It's integrated with Stripe.
Yep.
So they've got the option, actually not sure of the percentage, let's say 50% of my clients probably use this option, which the first fortnightly job, there's an option there to tick and automatically bill.
Yep.
So as soon as I finish the job and click on send, so I get in the car, send the invoice, automatically Stripe processes the payment anyway.
But
so I pretty much...
For
pretty
most
much
people that don't have enough time or the desire to look after their own garden, they also don't have the time or the desire to pay for that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't want to sit down and pay bills. I don't even know... I don't really pay any bills. Like,
yeah.
We've got... Everything's direct debited. I just
correct.
Get... It's done. And obviously, there's that risk of getting, you know... But if you find someone that you trust, a trusted garden...
Yeah.
then yeah. you kind of like, okay, that's cool. Just let it
run. And it's so easy. Like, it's a slight percent, like 1% or whatever, but... Once again...
Oh, so they'll charge 2 point whatever for the transaction and one for the recurring transaction?
Like no. I mean,
so
like,
it's just a
fee?
Yeah, that's
fine. Yeah. Just like a normal bank card or whatever.
Are you going to pay that with PayPal? Are you going to pay
But in my industry, it's so funny that there's still these guys that just must be cash and like that's a pain in the ass. Like,
well,
I don't have to
it
deal
depends
with that.
If you're trying to avoid paying tax.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's one way of dodging that.
It is, yeah. But so I like running my business legit.
Yeah.
For example, if I do end up selling, like I really want to show...
The real
numbers. And cash is a pain. Like I just don't... It's a pain. I just like finishing the job.
I think cash is the most beautiful thing in the world.
But running a business like mine when I'm 10
yeah.
jobs a day,
yeah.
oh, I forgot to leave the cash out.
Yeah.
I put it out here. That's
and then
there.
How do you... like and then I guess it's... this is a really bad example, but like ringing the police to report that someone stole your drugs. Like if someone didn't pay you the cash, you're
yeah.
like, what are you going to do? Report them to someone?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, we had a deal where... They would pay me cash so that I didn't have to pay income tax and they didn't pay me the cash. Can you help me get the money?
Yeah.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No. So, whereas if you do it legitimately, you've obviously got recourse. I mean, not that you're really going to... You're only going to be walking away from $105 on any one day, right? Like, if someone
yeah.
didn't pay last week, you ain't going next week.
Yeah. I just don't have it.
It just doesn't happen.
Nah. I just... Yeah.
So, does that software plug into Zero or is it...
Yeah, it does. Or I think it's... Well, I'm running with QuickBooks, but I think it does.
Okay, yeah,
it does both, yeah.
I guess Zero
that's
is...
That's fully... Like, it's just
the
trendy
cousin.
It's really...
And so, then your bookkeeper or whoever just... It's all done.
It's
like,
done.
You're not really doing anything.
Not really
you're just handing the file. They just have access to the cloud-based file and then they just do your tax at the end of the year and it's all
and
done.
And to be honest, it's not even... Like, I do have an accountant, but really, I don't need to. It's all done. I just like it.
You could do your own tax.
I could, yeah. But I just like it. Being ticked off basically by an accountant, but it does it all.
Not that
done.
They'll take any blame if there's a mistake, trust me. Like, well, you signed it.
Yeah. So that's all I really do. Like, that part has been the best for me. Like, having, like, focusing on the efficiency, the software wise and the running of the business, I guess, has set me up now to go, if I bring someone on, it's just, I just add a new worker to the software. Yeah. And it's just so easy.
And potentially stay in the same suburbs or build a
region
around them.
Yep. That could happen too.
Yeah.
No, those thoughts are there.
So one thing that I've mentioned a few times loosely and that I'm quite aware of is that you're using battery equipment for everything.
Yep.
When did that happen and why did that happen? And I guess what are the pros and cons of using battery over traditional fuel model?
Well, so it's nearly been 3 years since I pretty much went full battery. I tried a few things like some steel products before, like a extendable hedge trimmer and things like that. Really liked it to a certain extent, but then I don't want to bag the product, but the quality wasn't there. So,
as a petrol or a battery?
The battery.
Yep. So you're using, is it Pelink?
The Pelink gears I'm using now, yeah.
That's what you're using?
Yep. And so I started with some of the steel stuff, loved it because it was just so great on those days where you'd have a hedge trimmer, like extendable hedge trimmer and things, and it just wouldn't start, you hadn't serviced it or it was too hot, and you just want to get the job done and the equipment doesn't work.
Yeah.
You just feel like just throwing it.
Well, and you've made your business so pointed that everything has to work at the right
time. Yeah, correct. Yeah. So then what I found is, for example, lawnmowers, I had one stage five lawnmowers because one was getting fixed. This one, the carby was gone. This one was getting the cable fixed. My dad is a mechanic, works mechanic. So he would always be repairing something for me. So you'd always have these backups knowing that your stuff's going to go wrong. Like just the amount of things would go wrong consistently on the gear is just super frustrating. So you think you're saving money by buying potentially cheaper gear, but you look at the amount of times it's out of action or the parts you're replacing and things like that. So it was actually a Power Mowers. I went there, can't remember why I went there, sort of something. And he we had the Pelink mowers there, and got talking and then got speaking to the rep and just went on from there. I just tried it out and the mower is just awesome. Like, I just love it. It's super maneuverable. It's lightweight. The battery lasts me 2 days for the mower. Great cut. It's a wide mower as well.
You're not getting fuel on...
Not getting fuel.
On yourself.
Yep.
Anywhere.
And the 3-year commercial warranty on the battery and the mower.
Have you had to test the warranty or it just doesn't...
Yeah, no, it's been good. So I had an issue with a wheel and Luke from Pelink is like really good. So it's what you'd expect, I guess, from a premium brand.
Yeah.
In the first time I had an issue, called him up at a job. It's like a seal had gone on one of the rear wheels. He's like, where are you? I'm a prospect. I'll bring one out to you. Gave me a loaner, took the other one away, then fixed it by the next day.
Prospect sounds a bit too far away to me.
Yeah, prospect I'm just covering. So, you know...
So they're like, like the Grundfos of mowers or the...
Yeah, it's the premium brand. Yeah. So it's not, you know... I mean, some of these Facebook groups, I don't comment them much because they really just drive me nuts, but...
As in the homeowner Facebook groups or the lawn mowing
contractors? No, more the lawn mowing contractors.
Ones. I can't be in those groups.
So I get pretty frustrated. So I don't really comment in there much because I don't know, everyone just wants to have their time in the spotlight.
It's home and away syndrome.
It is, yeah.
It's them having... They need something to complain about.
Yeah,
it is. And if they go buy good equipment, then they've got nothing to complain about. Yeah. So
you sometimes want to just share your knowledge and go, like, I'm not telling you to buy a battery, but this is my experience
with it.
You
also don't sell them or make money
from it. No, like, I'm not getting a cent from it. It's just my experience with it, and I love it. And clients love it. So I do a lot of NDIS work
for clients. So people have got sensitivities to noise or fumes or...
Yep. So, like... Even on my Google page, you'll see some reviews even mention that, which I never really thought about initially. But like things like the hedge trimmer and things especially are so much quieter than the two-stroke humming away. And I just turn it on. Like, it just, it all works.
Mm.
And the reason I like the Pelink, I guess, primarily over the other brands is I'm not having 10, 20 batteries stored in my van that I have to charge. And once again, you go into some of those groups and these guys, it just... Sort of, I guess,
proud of this rack of Makita.
Yeah. And they're saying like, "Oh, these three are dead, but these five are good."
Yeah,
I think that's not great. That these three are dead, like, but it's become the norm.
Mm.
And what I find confusing, I guess, they look at the Pelink and go, "Oh, wow, it's $3,000 mower. It's like $2,000 for battery."
Yep.
I'm like, "Yeah, but I've got one. Mm. I've got one
You've only got one battery.
So I've got one battery for the mower.
Is that like a plug-in? I've seen you wearing a battery in videos.
Yeah, so that's the same style as the one on the back.
Yeah.
So that it can go on both. That's a 1200 battery I think I've got.
Yep.
And that will mow 2 days worth of my regular jobs.
Yeah.
So, and the backpack usually does a day.
So kind of like 20 lawns.
Yeah. Yep. And mid-sized, you know, small to medium sort of lawns. Fantastic. Love it. So I don't have to worry about plugging batteries in and out all day long. Yeah. I just works like a, and I know it's got 3-year commercial warranty as well, so that's what a lot of the catch is. Some of these brands that they're just home,
well, they're not commercial,
not true commercial. They're getting better from what I see, but it's still a lot of us that I see is, oh, it's all right, the rep gave me another new one, it's another new, but just the answer is just to replace them with new ones. And that, I think if they actually looked at the outlay when they've got these 10 batteries there that they've spent,
well, that's $1,200.
Yeah, I mean, more, I'd say.
Battery's something. 130 easily, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For a DeWalt, Makita,
yeah,
whatever.
These brand. Ones are probably a bit more because they're usually bigger, but yeah.
So,
and the frustration of the amount of times I need to change it.
Got a Makita blower and I've got a Husqvarna petrol blower, and I'll use the Makita first because it's quieter and, you know, it's just there and just straight away you don't have to kind of like get it going.
Yeah.
But those batteries last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And yep. I'm like, what? Like, really? And then, so I've got like, because one of our suppliers has, like, if I've got like frequent buying points and there's a heap of Makita, so I just keep buying stuff. So I've got those charging
and docks. That's what they rely on. Like,
I got these charging docks everywhere. I only need one, but I've got them, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine the pain of doing that commercially. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But,
so they've got the gear is just fantastic, and it's just, I really like the mower especially. I think it's the standout product. The maneuverability, zero turn,
and it's still weighty. It's not like a tinny, like, yeah, it's heavy.
That's it's nice, but it's not. Yeah. It's basically the perfect weight. It's so much lighter than, say, a Honda, so you're not leaving big tracks in the lawn and things like that.
Yeah,
and it's so kind of maneuverable because it's kind of floats. Yeah.
Are you cutting at the same height for all your lawns?
No, it varies depending on the lawn.
But you'll know. You'll just adjust the height.
Yeah, just the height. Yep.
Yep.
They won't go super low, so if you want to go super low, like,
it's not going to be a cylinder mower.
Not a cylinder mower, no.
But that's not what your business is offering.
It's not. No.
Yeah.
No.
It's cool. So one of the, are you doing any paid advertising at all?
I have done in the past, nothing at the moment. No. Yeah. I did some Google ads recently. I wasted my time. I don't know why. I just sort of jumped into it, had an idea, and like, it was an absolute waste of time.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I knew that, so I'm not sure why I did it.
I had a similar experience with radio. I knew it was a waste of time and I shouldn't have done it. Well, not time, it was a waste of money, but it's all connected.
Yeah.
But I still did it, I think.
I really think...
Looking for that silver bullet.
I really think that the money is better spent, or I guess the time is better spent literally just posting more.
Hmm.
The amount of stuff I do get, even from TikTok, like getting your brand out there, it helps the algorithm in general, so for Google. So I do a lot of focus on my Google reviews.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
That's probably the big part, big one, I think.
You're quite proud of your Google reviews, so you're actively asking for them regularly.
Yep.
Yep.
So I've got a list of all my clients and just make sure. And once again, I'm asking for feedback too. So I need to know if I can do better, like, let me know. I'd love to.
Do you manage that through the software? Like, can you message them?
But I don't.
You just ask?
Yeah, I just ask, yeah.
Yep.
Just to make sure, especially if it's an initial cleanup, just want to make sure everything, happy with everything, anything I missed, like, make sure you're happy. And also, like, I'm genuinely pumped when they do. Like, I really am excited when people do.
Yeah.
Because especially when they take the time to write a nice review. And I reply back to everyone.
Enough. I try to write reviews more. Like, I did some reviews while I was away because we've just got back from a 10-day family holiday and we had some really good service, and I wanted to make sure that generally people are only writing bad reviews, and I wrote some really detailed reviews, hoping to get some staff some credit as well.
Yeah.
But
that's fun. I like it.
Yeah. But we've probably got 100 reviews on one of our, like, WaterPro, and WaterPro have thousands. I mean, LawnHub has 200 new customers a day. Like, we should have tens of thousands of reviews.
Yeah. And it's not that hard in the way I'd say to do it.
It's all automated, but it's a bit too...
Email's no good, like, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So the first thing is to make sure you've got a short link for your page. So mine's g.page/trustedgarden. Nice and easy. But if you do g.page/trustedgarden/review and text, so ask for any feedback. Here's the review link. And once they click on that, it literally brings it up on their phone, the star bit. So the first thing they do, like, it's one click.
Because we had a paid platform for that called Podium, where we paid $500 a month, and it basically would send that, and then it would open up on that page. And I was like, there's got to be a way of hacking this, right? So you've got...
It's not even a hack, it's just easy. Like, that's what
it goes to that page?
Yeah.
If you're on an Apple phone, though, it doesn't, right?
Yep.
It does?
Yeah. It still it might bring up your...
You have to log into Google if you're an Apple user.
Yep. But most people, I think, these days are...
60% would be Android. I think it's getting... Apple are kind of growing.
So I feel like when I get an email, I don't know, I don't do that.
Yeah.
But if I get a personal text saying, like, for example, Lawn Hub would be fantastic. Could be 2 weeks after you've sent...
Well, we can text from Klaviyo. So we've got a platform that we use for managing.
Perfect.
And so it would be, hey, name, you know, just touching base to make sure everything was all right. If everything's, you know, great, we'd love a blah, blah, blah. Click here. Yeah.
And for you, it'd be so good to personalize that with, how'd the Trojan go? It's been 2 weeks since you got it. Have you laid it down yet?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, I have. It looks sick. Great if you give us a review.
Yeah.
Even better if you gave us a photo, a before and after. Have you got a before and after?
We'd love to share it on our page.
Yeah. And do you know we've got a competition for a viral video?
It's a lot of texting. Like, you're going to be a busy man.
But a lot of that could be automated. So
Klaviyo is a beast.
And so I really make sure I take the time to respond to those reviews as well.
Yeah. I make sure we respond to our reviews, or I respond to our reviews. I think Railways organically gets one every 3 weeks or something, and they're usually pretty good. The thing that fucks me off no end is when someone has a great experience and gives you 4 stars.
Yeah.
And you're like, what are you doing? Like, what are you hoping to save that star for?
Yeah.
Like,
it's funny.
What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, you know, like, I'm very aware that we only get 100,000 stars each and I don't want to waste them. Like, just give me 5 stars.
Yeah.
And so I'll write like, hey, thanks for the review. Really appreciate it. Would love to know what we could have done to get a 5th star. Like,
well, it's funny. What are you doing? Because at mine at the moment, I've integrated on my website. I do a lot of my website stuff myself. And it just syncs the data from Google and puts it on the page. And I think I've got 1 4-star, but it I almost need one to go under because it looks a bit fake.
That you've got 5 stars.
Yeah, it's actually
4.9.
It's actually 5.5, so it doesn't...
How many reviews have you got?
103 or something.
Yeah, that's fair. I think if you had 20,000 and there were 5, that would look
like
some kind of bot farm that's just been pumping out reviews. But
and I've had some in the past that have been negative, and that's like, and they were my fault. So
then you address it.
Yeah. So one I remember one, which was, you know, I've called you three times over 3 days, never got back to me, and like had a good go. And I'm like, they're right. Like, I see a lot of people get negative reviews and they go, oh.
Because you hadn't even engaged with them as a client. They were giving you a negative review.
Yeah. Because I didn't, because I gave them shit service.
But so rather than you just saying, we don't deal with you, you just didn't respond.
Yeah. I was busy or whatever. Yeah. No good excuse. Like, I get busy, I forget. Holiday.
Camping.
Yeah. Your something life. Like that. Yeah. So, and I really try not to do that. So I'm pretty good with that now, I believe. So that was a negative review, and I'm like, commented publicly, really, really sorry. Like, totally my fault. I see your calls. I missed them.
Yep.
No excuse. I'd love to come out and give you quotes if you have
a chance. Like, well, no one else has come out, so.
Yeah. And that was it. And they were really nice about it. I got the job, and then 5-star review. So that
people just want to be heard.
Yeah.
I think, and that.
And it was valid, to be honest. It was valid.
They're like, those reviews are sometimes the last port of call to go, no one's listening.
Yeah.
Review.
Yeah.
Because it gets noticed.
Correct.
It's obviously, it's serious, right? Yep. You start getting into the 4s, like into the 3s. Even now, we like I said, we were traveling through in the Gold Coast recently, and I was looking to go out for Japanese, and I'm seeing like 3.3s.
Yeah, you generally, like, restaurants, you generally...
If you're not in the 4s, like, it's like, what did you do?
Yeah.
Like, because either you've done something really bad and you don't care, or you've done something really bad and you don't know.
Yeah.
Right, like, as in, you're just unaware that you're shit, which is people are.
Yeah,
they're just blissfully cruising through life being shit.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But usually, if you get a bad review and you address it, it does get corrected it can get corrected. So, I was like, I'm not going to eat there. It's maybe a boys' trip. That's not a husband. That's not a husband and wife dinner.
Yeah, restaurants are one of those ones, definitely. But I think, I guess, anywhere, but particularly restaurants, I think, are big. Well, and then you see there
when you're putting the stuff inside your body.
Yeah, it's big, and I think even just, if I see reviews, and whether the review is, you know, a bit aggressive or whatever, and then that they just aggressively reply,
Oh yeah,
I got that really puts me off.
Oh, like if the business is like, no, it was your fault.
You're an idiot.
You're an idiot. Yeah.
Like, I just, I don't know. I will never do that. And even in the,
it sounds like something I'd do, doesn't it? Yeah.
Because I just taking away the ammo.
I'd be sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's more sarcasm. We should go through and see if we've got any. But yeah, usually if that happens, it'll get removed the next day. It's just because I'm pissed or drunk. but yeah, I think that sometimes people go through life doing shitty things and expecting there to be no negative ramifications. So sometimes I like to kind of like balance the ledger of morality in my mind. And maybe it's not. And a lot of times I get involved in shit that I shouldn't even be involved in. Yeah. I'm like, this is not right. I'm getting involved, and then my wife or my management here will be like, why do you care? What are you doing? I'm like, no, this isn't right. They're like, not your fault, dude. Like, just like, nah, someone needs to deal with this. I was going to start a company. Something pissed me off the other day. What was it? I'm trying to remember. Because Lawn Hub was like that, right? Like, it was a falling out that turned into a business. But I saw something happen. I'm like, you know what? I reckon that's worthy of me starting my own, another company to crush that business. It's like, yeah, maybe just concentrate on what you're doing, buddy.
Yeah, I think so.
So I
generally like to respond with positivity, and I just think it takes the ammunition away, especially on like social media with the comments sometimes.
That there, I found if I can be really, really, I'm very good at having arguments on the internet, and I'll generally break the other person before I break. The problem I have is I'll go to sleep and then I'll feel really bad about it, and sometimes I'll have anxiety attacks because of how rude I've been to someone. And it's not really me. Like, I'm a caring person. I care about people. But if you come at me, like, I'll come back at you.
Yeah.
And so I found that for my own mental health, genuine mental health, like not having actual anxiety attacks where I can't breathe in the middle of the night, I'm just polite.
Yeah.
And generally, like I said before, it's just because people want to be heard.
Yeah.
And no one's listening. So they've come with a negative thing, and then they'll send you a DM going, hey man, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I tried ringing the shop twice. You know, no one's, I think we had one, Lawn Hub. It wouldn't surprise me if it pops up. I saw a couple of emails come through from someone on Lawn Hub, and he's like, I've sent two messages, no one's responded. And it's like, cool. Like, we're not all sitting at home fucking waiting for messages, mate. Like, we're trying to run a company, but you can't do that.
No.
You got to go, okay, well, like, we really understand and we're sorry. And
yep.
You know, carry on down the line. I think with you having 100-something fives, I think that the majority of reasonable human beings that you probably want to work with will be able to see that it's real.
Yeah, correct.
I think that anyone who's like, well, this is surely fake, they're probably not your client.
I think once you get that sort of numbers, it's pretty, like you said, it's pretty hard to.
Well, we've got 100, and I think WaterPro is 120, 130, and we're pretty close to five. And, you know, like if you read them, it's, I mean, I think there's like four Mudgeon, like one of our staff's done like three or four in different email addresses, and it popped up. I think Jaron, our IT guy, sent an email saying, hey, do you think we should get him to remove these? Because it just looks like, it's just like these are fake. Yeah. I've done some real funny ones, like just like the owner of this business is amazing. Like, it's me. Yeah. Just giving myself a review, but it works.
The only thing I find with Google that's a bit frustrating for my business is it still pushes me out of the zone when I tell it to.
Yeah.
So people sometimes get upset at me for Google telling
how do
them
you
to call me.
That?
You can't. So I've set the radius, but I try it out. So you can go, like you go to incognito in Chrome and go to Ranella or something like that and just type in garden or garden maintenance, and often I'll still come up. But
which then, most people want.
It is.
And you don't want it.
But this is a bit that I want to share, is that there's such an opportunity for people that do my job.
Yeah.
To just get more Google reviews, and they will get
just the area
a ton more work. Like, they will get so much more work.
It's Google. Free. So, do you think your business is more Google driven than other businesses? Like, as in, not hairdressing salons, because I think that might be similar, but than WaterPro or Westfield or Virgin Airlines,
right? Yeah, I think like very Google driven.
It's because it's micro.
Yeah,
but flying, you've got a few options. You're not going to check the reviews of Google and Virgin and then pick up airline, right?
Yeah.
You're like, they're both above the minimum level of expected safety and service. I'm just going to choose the one that makes sense for me financially or convenience-wise.
Yeah.
What you're doing is more, well, I don't know if he's above the minimum level of service. Right? Yep. Like, kind of like Vodafone. Well, I want to say now because I'm really pissed off with them, but 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when Vodafone was just a shitstorm.
Yeah.
It was just Telstra was above the minimum level. Optus was dancing on it and everyone else was below.
Yeah.
It feels to me, I'm kind of just theorizing this as I'm asking you a question, which I'm answering myself. It feels like garden maintenance, probably not dissimilar to landscaping and maybe building. Maybe not so much building. I think some of the home builders are probably above the minimum level of, you know, but you still sit below that societal minimum, right? Like, we don't really know.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe it's because the barrier to entry to start a business like yours is so low.
It's super low.
Yeah.
Like, it's... when I see people saying there's no work out there, I'm like, there's a lot of work out there. If you've got a lawnmower and a hedge trim, a line trimmer and a blower, you can start a business today and get work. I promise you.
And you don't even need a trailer, right?
No.
You can use the boot.
Yep, a bike. There's go on Instagram, you'll see kids, especially in the States, that are cranking around at all sorts of different things.
Do you engage much with other influencers or garden maintenance folks on TikTok and the like? Like, do you have back and forth, obviously?
A little bit, yeah. There's a few guys I really look up to.
Yep.
That are just so consistent. Like, they just do such a good job.
Yeah.
Tim the Lawnmower Man.
That's who was on
he's
my mind.
He's got a huge follower. He's just so consistent.
He comes
such
up
a good
in
job.
Conversations with people that I've he's never so good. Expected.
Like, I really like his content.
Yeah.
Content. And I knew that a long time ago, watching him going...
It's going to pop.
He's going to pop. Yeah. Because he's just consistent. Yeah. He's got some humor and all sorts
he's
of things.
He's kind of... shameless isn't the right word, but he's embarrassless.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, I think sometimes the process
a few clickbaity words now.
There's that, but I'm talking more knocking on someone's door and going, can I mow your lawn? Like, that can be confronting for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you're doing it for free.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like you're trying to sell. I would feel more comfortable knocking on someone's door and saying, hey, I'm a garden maintenance professional. We do work on the street. I just wanted to introduce myself and give you some of my information. If you're ever interested in getting a quote, I would be super comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
But knocking on the door and going, can I mow your lawn for free? They'd be like, what? Because the world's so cynical.
It is, probably because
of the internet.
Yeah.
They're like, what? Why? What are you going to do? Are you going to prank me? Is Ashton Kutcher going to like cream pie my face and when you finish? Like, no, I don't want you mowing my lawn for free. But I'd love to know his hit rate.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
Like, of what... how many people say no versus everyone like,
No, I think he's, you can see what his strategy is now. He's got the tool, I can't think what his other brand's called, but he's got two accounts now.
Yep.
And one is more tool reviews. So obviously he's getting lots of people sending him gear to review. So he's pushing into that as well, but just a great content. And
he's
so
personable,
consistent.
Right? Yeah. It's well edited.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's kind.
Yep.
It's kind of what the world likes to see. It's, what do they call it? Satisfying. Hashtag satisfying.
It is satisfying. That's one thing. That surprised me when it first went viral was just how many people came into it.
They love watching.
On
the radio in the Gold Coast when I was driving, they talked about him. The radio announcers talked about him.
Oh, yeah.
And I reckon Chrissy Swan was one of the announcers. Like, it was a Nova or a...
Yeah.
Like, I just love watching Tim the Lawnmower Man. I'm like, holy fuck. Like, how did it get there?
Yeah. If you look at like his latest videos, he's getting a lot of reach really quickly.
Because he's learnt the algo.
Yes. Yep.
I was going to say when we were talking really early, like Mr. Beast's gone back now and he's making new thumbnails for old videos and they're getting reach.
Yeah.
And I think once you learn the recipe, this is one of the most beautiful things about business. Short of you being physically incapacitated, having Alzheimer's or a brain injury, once you've learnt it and you understand what you're doing, no one can take it away from you.
No.
Whereas sport... And this is very much paraphrasing Gary.
Yeah.
But now I've experienced it. Like, I know that I could go start another business in a lot of different areas right now and have I don't want to say this because now I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah.
And have $1 million business. I reckon within 12 months.
Yeah.
I could start a new business tomorrow and it would be run rating at $1 million turnover. So what's that work out to? Like $25,000 a day? No, not even. That's $1 million of 2 months. 10 grand a day is 3.6. 10 grand a day is 300 grand a month. No, it's fucking... No, it's like five grand a day. It's nothing.
Like, well, that's a lot.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Selling anything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just... Because I think that's the most beautiful thing. Like, it's... a day. I have a feeling if I could keep up with the supply, I could do that within 60 days. Start a new business inside 60 days and get run rating at $3,000 a day.
Yeah, I think you could too.
We should film that. Like, you know what would be even crazier? Like, pull the industry out of a hat.
And that would be cool.
And the product. And go, all right, you have to start a lady makeup company specializing in mascara. Go.
And you get your subscribers actually giving you the...
That would be... Yeah, like that. It's like,
only 30 or something.
Yeah.
Like, Yep. We'll put all 30 in a hat. We'll do it live. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Like, it'd have to be an e-com brand. Like, yeah. It'd have to be what I know. Like, I don't want to go do physical labor.
Yeah.
ever.
But I actually think you could.
If it's got to that point,
because of the level of staff that you've got, I really think it wouldn't matter. I think you could do that.
No, the problem is they would go, dickhead, I am so busy doing my actual job, I don't have time to kind of be an extra in your shitty show.
Yeah. No, I mean, you have to actually hire.
Like, I think we're getting further and further away from the legitimate business people that work here that do, like, the keeping the business going, and me and Dylan and a few other people that are like that enjoy it off doing these little kind of side quests.
Yeah.
And I think they're getting more and more resentful of just like, you know what? Go do your side quests. Don't take it out of our budget, and maybe do it in another building.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick of coming in and then like
New idea.
What? I the only reason it didn't happen yesterday is because I had a meeting and it went longer than I thought, but I was trying to buy an army car. Right? Like the old Mash 407, two door. It's a 1989 Land Rover 110, right? They're a four-cylinder thing. And I was going to get it spray-painted orange and make a lawn hub car. And I would have got here and Matt would have been like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, what? And he's like, what is that for? I'm like, oh, we're going to spray. He's like, what are you doing, man? And that was just yesterday. So... yeah, I think they...
it would have been cool, I think.
I think I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
It started at some other vehicle.
Because you could do that, like with running on that theory again about like having...
Like the whole process of doing it.
Like, you know, the people that like submit videos for their lawns, and you rock up in that...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're the winner.
With him on the back of the tripod, just like, hey, man. filming your front lawn. But I originally started looking at like 1970s Ford Utes and 1950s Ford Utes, and there was an auction going. I was at Australia Zoo on my phone because I don't give a fuck about crocodiles swimming around. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool. $70,000. We could probably... Oh, it's orange. I don't even have to paint it. Like, we'll just get one of them and put some lawn hub stickers on it and I can just drive that around. Like, fully restoed ute with a wooden... Yeah. Like, one of those wooden trays. And
oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
And then, so I don't know if it's... I don't know if it's today's the best day to start side questing mascara, but... Yeah. That'd be like it'd be funny, like an inverted Shark Tank where we have a show and people pitch me an idea, but they haven't even started it. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. Let's do it. And then you film the process of like building the website, sourcing the product, getting the warehouse, like talking to freight companies, getting like all the stuff sorted, and then running Facebook ads, Google ads, TikTok ads, contacting influencers.
Yeah.
Anyway, circling back to Mr. Vaynerchuk. How active are you in consuming his content now compared to maybe 5 to 7 years ago?
Still pretty active, I'd say. Probably less active.
Where?
Just when I'm working some on YouTube. Podcasts.
Yep.
Yeah, podcasts.
So listening to the Gary Vee audio experience?
Yeah, generally. Yep.
Has anyone else Has anyone else come into your kind of consciousness on social since Gary that you're getting good benefit from? Alex Hormozy is a big one for me. I've been really getting a lot of value from his content. Is there anyone else that you kind of...
I listen to a lot of Joe Rogan, to be honest. Like,
I love it.
But it's probably more entertainment as well as knowledge.
It's just escapism a little bit.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I just listen to it. Like, I look forward to his episodes.
I've probably been spending more time listening to Two Bears, One Cave than Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like my mates, he likes them.
But we almost, Lawn Hub nearly sponsored that show.
Oh, really?
Like, it got close. Like, it was just... I had to make a business decision more than an I wanted to do it because I love I love Bert. I think he's a fucking classic. Like, he's my spirit animal. And then it was like, oh, are we going to get the return on investment for this? Or is this just me ego playing to be like, oh, I did it. Like, so we didn't do it. But yeah, I'm pretty selective with my Joe Rogan podcast because they go for so long.
Yeah.
I kind of have to go, all right, that's definitely someone I'm interested in.
It's more because of my job. So
because you're always listening to something.
Yeah, because I'm always listening to something when I'm so I never listen to it at home.
What are you running from an audio standpoint, like protective?
Honeywell, yes, the Honeywell Sync Wireless.
We talked about
they are the best thing. They are just so good. Yeah. I still love them. They are so good. So that actual genuine protection.
Yep.
I can take calls and talk to people while I'm mowing a lawn.
Yep.
I listen to podcasts all day.
As in, you could be mowing a lawn, and because you're running battery. You could be walking.
Even on petrol, it was fine.
You could still hear them and they could hear you, or they could just hear the...
No, they can... Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, as in, it cuts out some of the ambient noise.
Yep. So it's not, it's weird because it's not noise cancelling, it's directional.
Yeah.
So, I could use a chainsaw and talk. It's not advisable, but because you got to concentrate what you're doing. But
That's the people that told me I shouldn't be filming in the car with Clint. They're idiots. Don't worry about that. Use your chainsaw.
So like it was fine, yeah. But it's even better now. With electric, it's totally fine.
You run electric chainsaws as well?
Yes, yep. A pole saw.
But you don't use it? Oh, so you're just really... Yeah.
I've got my, the electric chainsaw.
Palm prongs and...
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't need a big tree. Like, that's the thing I
you know, you're not a tree company?
No. Nah.
Yeah.
So I say no to a lot. Yeah.
Hmm. And you own some NFTs in the VFriends space?
Yeah, I've still got the gift goat.
Yep.
And I guess the gifts that have come along with that.
Do you think... So this is a very, very selfish question. Tell me what your chair design that you went with for the Anthros chair?
Yeah.
What'd you do? Did you put the goat on the back?
I put the goat on the back, yeah. I wasn't going to. Then my wife said, you love it. You got it.
You have to.
Like, oh, yeah, fair enough. Because I expected her to go, we're not having that stupid goat thing is what I expected her to
say. That sounds like a wife problem, not a chair problem.
Yeah, but she was the opposite. She was like, get the goat. So I was like, cool.
So one of my friends has two gift goats.
Yeah.
And I went to some gift goats. I was at the recent VCon, and so we went to a few goat shows. And there's people there with like 10 gift goats, and it's just ridiculous.
Yes, it's insane, yeah.
But I ended up buying a chair off of him for cash.
Oh, nice.
Because he's like, well, I don't need them. And I was like, that's cool. It looked like a really cool
chair.
It's
supposed to be like the bee's knees.
Yeah. So, and we went and saw it. We sat in them because they had them at VCon.
Are they good?
Yeah, yeah. I think he sat in it and I was like, I don't need to sit in the chair. And I was busy doing something else stupid, probably on my phone, like checking Facebook ads.
Yeah.
And he's like, sit in the chair. I'm like, I'm not sitting in the chair. It's fine. Like, just you sit in the chair. I want to go listen to this speaker. But he sat in it and he's like they fully, like the founders were there setting it up. And I worry that it's going to be so good that I'm going to want a boardroom with 8 or 10 of them in there at like $2,500.
Yeah, I think they're like $2,000 US, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I need to go make some USD before I start spending USD on fancy chairs, hence Lawn Hub US. But are you going to go to VCon next year?
That's the plan, yeah. I really want to go to VCon next year.
They hinted Toronto.
Okay.
But they didn't... They also hinted New York.
Yeah, New York's...
It kind of feels
I'm really,
right.
I'm really hoping it's New York.
Yeah, not me. Too far away and the accommodation will be ridiculous.
Yeah. The accommodation is... Because I went to VCon 1. We flew over to New York after VCon 1.
Yeah.
And yeah, accommodation was...
I don't think he'll have it in New York. I think that... And I know that that's kind of got this really nice cherry on top for the whole story of him loving New York.
Yeah.
But I feel like... everything I've watched, it's been a city that's big enough to handle the influx of people, and it's only 5,000 or 8,000 people. It's not stupid.
No.
Safe enough that people from around the world are comfortable traveling there.
Yeah.
Accommodation wise, it needs to be fair and reasonable because some of the people probably, you know, bought their ticket for $300.
Yeah.
And so Indy worked really well.
Yeah.
Because they have 150,000 people rock up the next week. So we were there the week before the Indy 500. Yeah. So every accommodation was empty.
Yeah.
It's you can walk the streets. There's a stadium next to a park next to, like I think there has to be some.
It works well.
Like whereas what if you have it in New York, where are you going to have it?
Yeah, that's right.
Like, you can't have it at Madison Square Garden.
It's not practical, really.
No, it sounds good, and who knows? Awesome. I might be wrong. But and then I thought, oh, Toronto makes sense. Like it's maybe the right size. It gets a few people. Like and who knows? And
you know, soon the announcement. I think it's pretty soon. But
yeah, I think they just had the art announcement for the last one, and then it'll probably flow on from that. But
yeah,
you think. Like, if I'm Gary, I'm going to the government of that town and saying, what are you going to do for us to bring X amount of people into the town that are pretty loose with their money?
Yeah.
Like, they got that crypto gain.
Yeah, that's right.
Like that.
And hopefully by then, there's hopefully more gains by then.
There should be some pumping by 2024. Isn't that when the next,
that's what
next run's meant to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we've just got to wait for Vlad to pull the pin, right?
It's going to be interesting to see what happens between now and VCon, I think.
Depends on who you think owns Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of a Gary V connected. So what do you think, like if you had never discovered Gary's content, do you think you'd be making content now?
Unsure. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Because ultimately that's the reason I started the podcast, because it was like, I do have a desire to be famous. Probably a delusion to be famous. I like the idea of it. But it's funny because when I was in the US last, I spent some time with D-Rock and I kind of explained what I was trying to do. And he's like, dude, you need to really think about whether or not you want that.
Yeah.
He's like, he goes, I've seen the other side of it.
And yeah.
It's not as pleasant as yep. might sound. So
he's left actually now. He's left.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, yeah. He's going to. He just told me about his plans, and I don't even know how public it is. So I'm not going to talk about it. But
yep.
I think he is at a good period in his life where I don't know how much more he could have given to that role.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it would have been a tough conversation. I mean, it started there, right?
Yeah, I was almost sad reading it. Like, you just knew it had to happen one day.
Yeah, I was a bit emotional reading the post as well. When I read it, I was like, far out. Because D-Rock's been through a lot of shit, even just personally, like, obviously growing as an individual.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when I saw that, I was like, good on him. But
he's the nicest guy ever. Like,
Like, legit. Like, yeah. And I think a lot of when you really get to know him, there's all these other layers as well that you can't see, like, and not because he's guarded, but because he's busy. Like, he's got
flat out.
He's fucking boom, 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 boom. Like,
I don't think people really realize, like, when they see guys like him, that it is on.
He
a lot.
I don't know that he got enough credit for what Gary V has become.
Mm.
And I think people that are deep in the inner circle would be like, yeah, he actually, like, it's hard because the talent is the talent, right?
Yeah.
And you can always find someone else to film. But when the talent's not the talent, does the film make the talent?
Yeah.
Right? And could Gary, would I think Gary was inevitable.
Yeah.
He's one of those one in a billion unique cats that just was going to do it. But if that didn't happen, sliding doors, you're never really going to know, right?
Yeah, but, and I think probably spell out the process, I think.
It's it's really interesting talking to him, and like even just to have him look at like my content and be like, yeah, good, I'd change that. Thumbnails look great, do that. And it's like, holy fuck, like this is, you can't buy that kind of that kind of access to someone. So well, thank you very much for coming in. I do appreciate it. Thanks again for dropping off another bottle of empathy.
No worries.
I should put it in here.
Feel free to drink it.
We need to
investigate. I reckon it's just the corks. The corks are cool. Because the corks got their different message on each one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's like a dozen or so.
Give with expectations. Oh, without expectations. Yeah. That's at the end there. Like, that's really aggressive. is there anything you want to promote at the moment? Just if anyone wants to look at your TikTok or your Instagram.
No, not really. They can find it.
Or not. You don't give a shit. Yeah, you don't need them.
Just enjoy it. Losers. It's more like, to be honest, if there's other businesses, especially ones in my industry that are genuinely good or looking for advice.
So you're happy for people to reach out over DM and be like, hey, I heard your podcast. Yep. I want $60,000 a year. When I finish bathing my mum, I'm going to come and mow the lawns.
That's fine.
Maybe. That might push you into doing it.
Yeah.
And also,
genuinely,
if someone's genuinely interested, and
if they want questions about software, about the equipment,
the tools,
always happy to share. I'm literally happy to share
anything. I think we need to organize a Pelink referral affiliate code. I want some commish.
Actually, Luke's probably a good one to have on the show.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, okay, good. Let's do that. He's
really good. Luke's awesome.
Okay.
He'd be happy to do it.
I'll hit him up and be like, hey, if you sell a lot off this podcast, can I just have a blower or something? Just he'll be like, no. All right, thank
you. And they're not far away either. They're
Regency Park.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks so much. That's great.